Blog Talk Radio.
That's what they're doing, and it's to the
to the radiation fallout.
The thing that's really scary is that California is a center of vegetable growing,
right,
and wine and all, you know, it's very fertile soil in that San Joaquin Valley. And that, and the radiation is falling there. And then that stuff is being exported all over the world and consumed here at home.
In fact, I saw a video a while back, not too long ago, about a month ago, where a guy was walking, had a Geiger counter, and he's walking through a grocery store in the produce section, and he was going through out the whole produce section, and the Geiger counter was going crazy all along the produce. All right.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter what it was. It was all highly radioactive.
And that's probably here too.
Yeah. So, you know, it's everywhere, and they're not telling you. They're not going to mention it.
And you don't hear anything about what's happening to the Japanese people. How are they eating?
No.
How are they, you know, how are they consuming water? I mean,
there's a total blackout on news. They're from there. It's just unbelievable.
Never hear a thing.
It's getting out, and it's startling what you're hearing. But, you know, Leo, let's look at this logically. All right, the truth of the matter is it happened. There, people are being affected. We don't need any more proof. I mean, we could sit here for the next 6 months and try to get gather as much information as we can, but it's not going to do any good.
That's true.
You know, we're going to have to do something with it because it's at a point now where we're all being affected, and if we don't do something, we're all going to die. And that's a fact. I mean, it's a slow death, but in some cases, it's a very fast death. Now, what you were saying before about hitting the West Coast, yes, it is hitting the West Coast. And because of the weather patterns now, the upper jet streams and so forth is bringing it, you know, right over the Americas. And we're affected by this now, and it's going to get worse. Now,
well, the snow is coming from the west,
yeah,
and all that rainfall and everything else has to be radioactive.
Yeah. And I guarantee they'll be doing groundwater surveys, studies, and they'll find tremendous amounts of radiation in it. It's just, you know, George, it's just, you know, we can't deny that it's happening. It's happening, but to me, it has to be mentioned. It has to be brought out somehow. You know?
Yeah, all right, now, bringing it out, we also have to have some options here, Leo. And I think that we do have options. I mean, we can get scared and start pointing the fingers here and there. But there are ways, I think, that we can handle this and to counteract it.
How is that?
And if you can, just hear me out a bit, in a sense. In the past, civilizations of antiquity, Linda Cantrell wrote about it in The Greatest Story Never Told.
I read that.
A lot of the earlier civilizations understood radiation poisoning, and they ate a certain diet that would limit, let's say, the sicknesses from radiation. And, you know, in some areas, fish was a main toxic food that were killing people. But once they realized that, or once they were able to get rid of the fish, they were able to take care of the problem. Well, it's just one of the problems. But, you know, they were able to handle it years ago, and we will find ways of offsetting, let's say, the effects of radiation. Now, we also have another factor here, another option, is that we have the ability to set up fields around us or in our body that would immune us from this disease, if you'd want to call it that. And it's all in the ability that we have in purposely building, you know, an imaginary wall around us, blocking this.
That's only if you're aware of the issue and you know how to do it. But, for those of us who don't know how to create the wall around us to protect us from radiation, the best physical method is baking soda. All right. And they advise, I've posted a number of things on Facebook, and I've read about it, and I think I read it on my show. But one of the best ways to detox yourself from radiation is
after the damage has occurred.
Sea salt and or before it occurs. Okay, sea salt and or sodium bicarbonate, which is baking soda. Then if you take a tablespoon or so of that in water daily, it will help prevent you from developing any radiation sickness. And that's been proven. And also the use of sea salt, all right, which is one of the biggest ways of that as well, detox. But
let's look at it from an organic point of view, completely organic. And I'm gonna I'm not gonna think crazy, but I'm thinking, maybe in new terms of new energies that we're receiving. First of all, I would get up close, very close, to some of these children that are being born right now, because their DNA is different from ours, or the older generations. And, they have energy patterns within their body now that are protecting them from a lot of these man-made diseases that we've had for the last 20 years. And,
I have to question that only because if that's the case, why is there a quadrupling of infant mortality in the last, 3 to 6 months since the Fukushima incident? This is just on the West Coast. This isn't involved. Those aren't statistics of Japan or anywhere else. This is just from California. So if their DNA is so special that, then why are they dying at childbirth or, shortly after from radiation poisoning?
Well, I don't know if you want to ban this with that or not. I don't know why they're dying, Leo. But to finish my thought, you don't have to be inoculated with these bloods and serums from these children. It's just being around them, because I'm talking about the energy fields that are around them now that they're perceiving and that their body is resonating at. So instead of having to find a cure for this or for that, just sit back and be close to them, and automatically, you'll resonate with the energy fields that they're giving off. It's like two tuning forks. If you bang them, they're going to resonate together. So I'm saying that these kids are immune to some of the stuff that we're coming in contact with, and I believe that it's connecting with the children and being around the children that they're going to change us subconsciously and consciously, and it's because of the energy fields that are within their bodies. And I'm just saying, instead of having to worry, about finding something to counteract this, just understand that, the good creator, has given us options and remedies, especially now within this time of coming to a close. But that may be a different story. But understand that we have options available to us, and I'm just mentioning, some options. But there are many, many options that can come into play here.
Here's one that I have to question you on that, because there's a dramatic increase in juvenile diabetes, dramatic increase in cases of pneumonia that we've seen in this area, but as well in children. And these things, the kids, it doesn't look like kids are stronger. It looks like they're possibly weaker, and the weakness is caused by genetically modified food, pollution, the mother's milk, is contaminated with, or milk that's contaminated with BPA, which is the poison in formula bottles, and stuff like that. All of these things.
Your environment.
Right. Also, there's a major problem with sterility. Children are developing major, and not just children, but
Testosterone level is lower in males.
Exactly, in males now. Okay, sperm count is way down. Okay, sterility is a major factor today, more so than it ever has been, and not only in men but in women as well. So there, I don't see any. We're talking about men.
If there is an altered DNA, it doesn't seem that it's stronger, George.
No, it seems like it may be even weaker in some cases.
What makes you think that it's stronger? What have you heard on that account?
When you say stronger,
a more resistant DNA
to environmental stuff like radiation and so forth.
Well, I think we're forgetting about our potentials that we have and that we have to work with. You know, a lot of people are sick because they want to be sick and they make themselves sick.
I don't know about that, George.
You got to think about it, Leo, because that's the reality of it may not be the way it should be, but that's the way it is. People are praying to die because they've had enough, and it's a matter of drawing to them, you know, their own illusion. And that's where we were talking tonight in understanding quantum consciousness and how we are actually the artists in the reality that we're experiencing. And it's really not happening outside of us. It's happening inside first, and we're creating the play, and yet we're physically acting out, the play or the movie. And, it's like a waking dream.
I think it probably is to a degree, but you said there was altered DNA. What?
Yes.
That's just one point I wanted to address. What makes you believe that the DNA is actually altered, George?
It's altered because of the consciousness or the energy that's put into it. You can alter your DNA through your own willpower because you are a captain of your ship, and you can tell your body to do certain things, and it must do it because you are controlling that. You are holding that whole illusion together, including your body.
Yeah, that's probably true in a lot of ways. But what makes
true in a lot of ways. Either you're pregnant, you're not pregnant.
Now, you said
no,
that
we have control.
Different DNA. I wondered, how is it altered, and what proof do we have of that? That was my question.
What do you mean by proof? What are you looking for?
Well, is there any scientific evidence to show that there's, an altered DNA? These have different strands or different genes or different...
How is it altered, I wondered?
Yeah.
Well, it's by turning on and turning off certain genes within the DNA.
Well, have they found that to be the case, or is that just the more...
I haven't read anything about that, and I just wondered what you had read about that.
Well, you know, all right, let's say you haven't read that, Lila.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at what you're doing. You're not accepting it from a logical, a linear point of view, or you can accept it. If this was a fictional story that we're telling, I mean, you can comprehend that or put it into some kind of a reality from an illusionary state. You agree?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me just
and verify. Let's say that you verified this as being true. Now, how would you think about it? What would you think about it?
Well, I'd want to.
What do you think about the possibility of possibly turning something bad into good?
No, that wasn't my question. My question is, you know, what DNA is changed? You said the DNA of the children born now has changed. I want to know what has changed and what benefit it has, and what is the evidence of changed DNA?
All right, I'll tell you one benefit and one change is the digestive tracts of children being born right now these days. They're able to digest food from birth from all over the world. They can sustain nutrition on junk food.
No, they can't.
You know, what they had is their body has adjusted, or their digestive tract has adjusted to make food or energy out of whatever substance they're feeding themselves.
George, the reason that there's so much juvenile diabetes, the reason there's so much
obesity
amongst kids, I mean, that is because they're not digesting this stuff properly, and they're not...
They're eating a lot, but they're not being nourished.
Nourished. I mean, the reason that there's so many illnesses, childhood illnesses that are developing, cancers and stuff, is primarily because of what they're eating or not eating, okay, is the case. And it's not that they're being able to digest this stuff. What's happening is their bodies are not able to digest it, and
it is,
but
there's nothing in it.
No, it's developed. It turns into fat. Whatever the body can't use turns into fat, and what they can't digest turns into the fat cells, and this is what's causing so many problems today. But not just in childhood obesity, but childhood diabetes, childhood cancers. Autism is another major thing. I mean, if 1 in 144 kids born today
worldwide
are autistic, what the hell is what kind of DNA help is that? All right, unless
that's an altered DNA.
That's an altered DNA, but not to the benefit, not to a good thing, And if
so, there's an example of altered DNA. All right, so let's take this a step further. If we can do that, why can't we move a mountain? Look at the possibilities and the potentials of just thinking something to happen, and it happens, being at the potential to do that. What would you think of that?
Well, I don't understand the premise, basically, because if we can disease and destruction and death and infant mortality, or if we can heal this stuff, which is not very, we don't have a pretty good record of that.
Let's forget about records. What if we could heal something like that? How would you feel about it?
Heal what? You mean heal everything that we've been talking about?
I mean, another case of altered DNA is Down syndrome.
Down syndrome.
That's a perfect example.
You know, there's so much, George, that there's so many diseases
that's different from the DNA of the rest of us.
And we're having more and more and more of it today than we've ever had.
I don't know about Down syndrome.
All right, what if you can turn that around and make it the way you want to?
Well, people do. They abort those children before birth.
That's walking away from it. I mean,
yeah, but what are you going to do with it? You know, you see, I mean, if you got, I mean,
that's
what are you going to do with it?
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do if you have a terribly deformed child? You're going to let it. All right.
Let's answer that question. What would we normally do?
Well,
as a species, what do we do in situations like that?
You'd probably abort it.
People have a choice about that, and that's a personal decision, as it should be.
Yeah, unless you're Rick Santorum, or the Pope.
No,
right?
Let's be serious here, Leo. What is the consequences of a situation like that? You think that's bad?
Well, that's a personal decision. It's not good or bad.
But a lot of people are doing it. So you think they're doing it because of alternative reasons?
I think whatever reason a person has for doing that is their own personal reason. I don't think
is out of love. Wouldn't you agree?
It may be. I don't know.
Well,
it may be for some.
No, there's no maybe involved here.
George,
because you know, if, I'm just saying, if I'm a mother,
they never see them again.
I found baby, and I was to care for that baby for the rest of her life. Now, don't you think, out of love, I would want to care and nurture my offspring, my child? And, you know, regardless, you know, if they had no arms and legs, I would love them. And can you understand the relationship? Sometimes the illusion that you're connected with or that you live with is something out of love and something out of awareness,
sure,
but also
love,
out of a long-standing
for the child,
relationship between two beings.
What does that child have to live for? What if you have a child that's born with no arms?
No, Leo, stop. To be
if it
loved.
Has no brain or a part of a brain, it can't function without a...
There's a life force in that body, Leo, and, you know, even though it doesn't have the abilities to communicate like other people do in a three-dimensional reality, that does not mean that they're not real. So, you know, understand
this argument has been fought time and time again. Let's just put that to rest. I believe in freedom of choice for people to do whatever they think is right, and it's a personal decision. Yeah, your personal decision, private decision, may be different from mine or from other people, but I respect the fact that you have the right to make that decision. And that's an argument that's not going to go anywhere. Because that's
well, you know,
the way
I didn't want to argue in a sense. I just wanted to show that is a personal illusion or reality that a person is living through. And even though, you know, it's the reality, it's still an illusion, because the illusion is a relationship, how you feel toward, let's say, my child or that child. But it's also it's the illusionary effect that I'm giving off to the outside world. I mean, you know, I'm only going to receive back what I feed into it. And if I put love into the world, I'll receive love back. So, you know, there's an illusion being played out. And that illusion, first of all, is being played out in our own head or our heart, if you'd want to. I want to get closer to the situation. But we are only viewing the reality of the illusion that we're looking for, that we're drawn to.
Well, there
and,
again, you have the
quantum
illusion.
Physics, they'll what tell you, in quantum consciousness, you know, we'll have multi choices. You know, we're seeing, let's say, a ball bounce, but it's not just one ball, it's 50 balls. And, you know, we have the choice of grabbing any ball or any options or any balls in the field and deal with them personally and individually. And so we're in a situation where we pick this illusionary field of all these possibilities, you know, the one that we're drawn to emotionally, leanly through the brain, logically, you know, we can attach to something. But understanding it's the body proper that feels and wants us, because it's the emotional attachment that we have to the outside world.
But then again, you have wisdom, love, and compassion. Those three things, George, would make anybody realize that a child born without any ability to function, all right, it would not even be compassionate to allow it to exist.
That's a personal
in this world. It would not be.
You're right, Leo. That is a personal.
Illusion.
Personal issue, you know.
I was just
using it as an example, but I think it's a damn good one. And understanding love works always, and it has no bounds of beauty or attachment to it. Love is love.
You don't really know what somebody else's decision is, whether it's a loving decision or not, because it's a personal decision. And that really isn't a good example to use, because it's so emotionally charged anyway.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I believe that people should have the freedom in that area to do what is right for them.
Right.
Because that's a very personal thing. And you can't really judge what someone else is thinking or feeling, whether it's a loving decision or not. Only they know that.
Right. But is it a decision based upon pressure from their religion sources or pressure
from
their
know.
Families, or is it their own basic decision?
Well, all of the above.
They're all
none of them is separated out they're just all options, you know, to the question. So,
but I think
you know, I
have that freedom to make that choice.
Yeah.
And it's not for us to judge others in that area. You don't know what they're going through.
That's true.
And that's why it's a personal and should be a personal and private thing. I don't.
I think it is, but you know, we couldn't talk about this like this. Let's say 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Take it back 40, 50 years. I mean, they would be hunting us down because you just didn't do that. But you know, we are more what we're experiencing now, and what the Mayans talk about is we're going into that feminine state, and we go into this every 26,000 years. We change, and we've gone from the male energies to the female energies, right now what we're experiencing is the emotional body. And understand with organized religions that, you know, I talked about, you know, of coming from the heart instead of the head. We have been closed off to the outside world by using our brain, and that started about 15,000 years ago.
And those organized
closed us off and closed off the emotional body. And the emotional body is the mindset coming from the heart and coming from the body itself.
All patriarchal religions, all dominated by males who have nothing to do with childbirth.
And now, as you said, there's going to be a swing back to the feminine. We'll go back to Mother Earth again. Maybe some of the religions that have been underground or not so prominent will begin to come to the forefront. I don't know.
Or at least the feminine
will be more accepted.
Right.
Right now we see. What we see as public figures, we see women who behave more like men.
Oh.
And that's how they get it.
Well, you know, that's the only platform that they've had, really, to raise themselves up. And, I mean, here it's going against the males, or, you know, the CEOs and the big corporations. And it took them 30 years for them to stand up next to them and challenge them, and now they're equal to them, and they're understanding that they must play the piper, just like Martha Stewart when she went to jail for her stock shenanigans, whatever. There's one example, you know. They made their mark.
That was a ridiculous case because, you know. The people that really should be going to jail are the CEOs of Goldman Sachs, CEO of J.P. Morgan, CEOs of Citigroup,
the banking,
and AIG, and all of these.
You're right, but I think my point was made in a sense. It's just an example. And
Stewart
now
made $200,000
we've had
through an inside trading
and lied about it,
and had to serve a year
mm-hmm.
or something in jail. These sons of bitches are out there walking around and getting $100 million bonuses. I mean, she was marked for a completely almost irrelevant kind of stock trading. Everybody would do that, and everybody probably.
Well, our Congress does it.
They do it all the time.
They passed a law. They can use insider trading information to make money.
Yeah. So it's legal
for them.
They know a bill is going to be passed and they invest in this corporation or company or this Halliburton or Boeing or,
How about that, George?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make you sick?
Yeah, I mean, Dick Cheney's wife was on the board of directors while he was president. A vice president, she was on the board of directors of Lockheed Martin, for crying out loud, all right? And they were getting all kinds of government money.
Contracts.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, the insider trading is so unjust, okay? It's so ridiculous. It's not even, it can't even be considered. unless the entire structure of our Congress has changed, all right? And what's and they're not going to do it because they're the guys that make the laws. So, you know, why shouldn't they be above the law, which all of them are? And so that's not going to make any difference.
Right now, it's unfortunately a very sick system.
It's an incredibly sick system. And
what you have now is it's a turnover now, and they're turning over to the feminine energy, and you know it's like consciousness or where the motivation is.
Well,
with the feminine energy, we're dealing with parallel thinking or energy patterns, where with males, it's more of a logical or linear thinking. So what's happening is that we're going over to a world that deals with emotions, where the lineal thinker does not. And when you're dealing with emotions, it's the original impulse that we receive in life, but also from the heart. And that feeds the brain, and the information is coming from an emotional background. So it's right brain, left brain thinking. So instead of thinking with the left brain, we're thinking more dominantly with the right brain. But the right brain is connected more with the body, but it's also connected more with the earth or down to nature. It's open. It's not closed off. That's the benefit that we're having now. You know, we're just seeing the fight, but the battle was won, and now let's see what they do with it. You know, now that we have the collapse of this empire that we see crumbling in front of us.
Well, let's look for 1 minute at Newt Gingrich, okay? The serial hypocrite, the ultimate political cynic, the most horrendous politician we've ever seen emerge. Who is backing him? Okay, who are the people backing him? The Catholics, all right? The Opus Deus.
Just give him a little background. He converted recently
to Catholicism.
From being a Jew to being a Catholic.
And the reason for that is he got $5 million to continue his campaign. All right, and on top of that, there's nobody. I mean, this guy has been married 3 times. Okay, each time was an adulterous relationship. Okay, he's a serial cheater. He's a serial liar. Everybody knows that. Whoever worked with him, all right. But yet, what's happening? He's suddenly the darling of the South Carolinian Republican far right. They think he's a wonderful guy and that he's confessed his sins to God and that he's a wonderful big prick.
And he's born again.
He's
born again, all right.
He's not.
So do you think he cares about his constituents?
No. But the thing is, George, is what I'm trying to
say.
They
think he cares about them.
They really think that he's something else, that he's the guy for them. And it's like,
I think what he's doing is very good, and he's doing what he wants to do. I don't know what he wants to do, but, you know, take a look at what he's doing. He's raising money. All right, $5 million, you said, right, Leo?
Just from the
Catholic. That goes in his pocket. So in the meanwhile, the government will give him money to run for presidential office, along with protection if he needs it, with selective service or whatever guardians they have. But understand,
he doesn't even have Secret Service
money
on him.
From both ends.
You know, the thing is, the most demonic people never have to worry about being assassinated. It's only the good people that have to be worried about being assassinated.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about him.
So.
What's your point with Newt Gingrich, George?
Excuse me?
What was your point?
Well, I've been following him for years, and I remember. With Alan Toffel, he co-wrote a book or sponsored a book back in 75, 76, and talked about the New World Order back then, and talking about the new government, the new world. And, George Orwell's understanding, under a different tone, and that was the third wave. But, just involved with that concept, and I wasn't crazy about it, and I still never adapt to it. But
hasn't changed about that.
Politician in my eyes,
he hasn't changed though. Even up
not a bit, not a bit. They don't change because it's a business for them. You know, once they get involved, he doesn't have to worry for the rest of his life. He's got a pension. He's got medical benefits, and you know, he can sit back and laugh and do what he wants. Does what he wants. And
he's a salesman, is what he is.
He's the ultimate cynic.
That's the nature of the game, you know. If you put the money and the effort into politics like he did, you'll reap the rewards, and the reward is your pocket, not the people. That's sure.
That's exactly right.
And that's what's changing.
Newt Gingrich, at this point, religion.
And his God is money.
His God is money.
Well, that's a dead issue, and by the end of the year, you know, that's going to be gone.
Did you listen to
our show on Ron Paul?
We did on Wednesday.
No, I didn't. No, I've been having some problems with Blog Talk, just getting it on my computer and listening to it.
Really? Well, we did a show just on Ron Paul, and we were really enthusiastic about him until we found out a little more.
So we discovered that his whole appears to be just a shill for the New World Order. The guy believes in a one world currency. He believes
digital gold is what he's going to push.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he believes in gold, but you know, there's only so much gold, George. You know, and 50% of the gold in this world is owned by the Rothschilds. The other 50% is in the United States and the Vatican. Okay, believe it or not. The rest is all manipulated by the Rothschild Bank.
And, of course, right. You know, we won't have any gold. We'll have digital gold.
Right. All right. Money based on
inflated
prices of gold.
When he talks about getting rid of fiat currency, nobody ever pushes him any further than that. But what he believes in is one world banking system. Ultimately, when he talks about getting rid of government and all that, what he wants is to get rid of it to have a one-world government.
And a one-world currency based on commodity currency, which is gold and silver.
There's been things that he's talked about that we've read right out of the congressional record that support that.
That support that. So
it was really terrible when we found that out.
When we found out about it. And the problem is...
I think that one-world government thing has fell through. It's not what they were looking for. I think they have some real trouble with that throughout the whole world. And, you know, I really think that there's going to be some kind of intervention that's going to come into play very soon. I think what's happening there is going to be secondary to these events that are going to happen. And it's going to be an interesting year. It really is going to be an interesting year.
I wish out of this there would emerge a strong... leader who had some values. Unfortunately, the people they're putting up don't have any values at all.
No.
They have no moral compass.
No.
That's the problem. We don't have anybody with any internal values.
And if they do, they get shot. Or they get thrown out. Because the system is set up that you're designed.
They just want puppets.
They want puppets,
it's over with. It's falling. And there's no way
you can
put it back together again. So, you know, for me to even begin about to look into the future, you know, I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Everybody's truth right now. And to be truthful, America is the evil one of the world right now. I mean, they go around wherever they go and they kill people, they start wars. And, you know, it's disgusting. It really
is.
Isn't it
horrible?
It's frightening.
What they're doing here in the States, this is a republic, goddammit.
I know.
It's really horrible. We're the bullies of the world. We hurt everybody. I mean,
God help any country that becomes
a friend of ours. We support them. Then we pull the rug out from under them, create an embargo, and go in and steal all their resources.
Well, if they got anything we want, we'll betray them and take it. You know, that's the way our government seems to work.
And that, you know, Iran, which has never resurrected a war against anybody in the last 100 years.
500 years.
Or 500
or
years.
Even 1,000 years, probably.
I mean, they haven't gone to war, dropped any bombs, or hurt anybody.
Only in defense, like when Iraq invaded them, okay. And when Iraq invaded them,
they fought back.
But they
haven't tried to take over any other country.
No, they never have. And the only reason they're involved with all these other countries is for self-protection, for crying out loud.
And trade.
And trade. But, you know, they're involved with Hamas or Hezbollah or all these other small countries because those groups...
Hamas and Hezbollah are not countries.
No, Hamas is involved with Palestine.
I think we could change all this.
With Lebanon. And
I think we could change it. I think we have to change our mindset.
No, what I'm just trying to say is
change our mindset,
their involvement,
put our mind to it. I think we can do anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, just take a simple thing, and I'll mention is prayer. Prayer, just a simple prayer can change the world. And yet prayer is not something you can sit and you have to meditate and for 3 hours. Prayer is a simple thought.
I think prayer can change your world.
10 seconds. And the only thing, the only requirement is prayer is to be happy. Because a prayer is happy. And you, if you pray to be happy, you'll be happy. So, you know, it's well, maybe, you know, I want to feel happy. That's not feeling happy. That's wanting to feel happy. And you won't until you finally decide that you want to be happy. But be happy. So I'm saying a prayer is very simple, and it's just a conscious thought or even an imaginary thought that's put in motion. So, you know, don't spread yourself thin. And if you can hold that your whole life and everything together and create the illusion that you're experiencing life, then you can do that simple thing and take 5 seconds or 10 seconds and pray for something good. And that's it. That's all you got to do. And, you know, I'm working with a few things, and I think that because of the wrapping up of consciousness and the time flow that we're in, that this co-creation understanding is my illusion, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Well, I am too to a degree, and I can't seem to divorce myself from reality, George. And I, you know, the reality that's out there. That,
you know, because you understand it's all an illusion to begin with. So there's no logical approach on this. You just jump in. It's like Don Juan and Carlos Castaneda. Just jump off the friggin' cliff. That's all you got to do, and see what saves you.
Yeah, I guess it is just faith, you know, faith that something good will happen. And
well, you know, the Aborigines, what they would do is that they would communicate with their ancestors or people over distances through, you know, dream time. And it's been proven that in dream time they can attach themselves, let's say, to their uncle who lives, 3,000 miles away. And he would be reporting, you would actually go that distance and spend time with him. And it's like astral travel. Carlos Castaneda talks about your spirit can manifest in 5 different places at the same time. And that's the amount of energies, the ability that you have as a human in controlling this physical energy body that you have to work with. So, you know, it's the Aborigines as something normal or part of their illusional reality would be able to not only connect with their ancestors miles and miles away, but also go there. So, you know, that is part of the unity consciousness that we're experiencing, folks. So this dream time, or let me put it this way, this waking dream that we're experiencing now, all of us, is just that. We are learning to jump of hyperspace and do what our heart tells us we can do instead of listening to our brain that says, no, you can't, goddammit, but you can. But you just got to believe it. And if you put your heart into it, it will happen.
I agree with you to a large extent, George, and I think we're headed into some kind of unity consciousness. It's just that
we're in it now. We're heading in it. We've been in it now for about a year and a half.
No, okay, we're in it.
Look at yourself. Look over the last year and a half. the changes that you've made. Also, we've talked about over the radio shows. Take a look at the content of what we said. You know, we're going into detail on things that we've been talking about for years now, but it's all coming together. And part of that is the illusion that's being played out, you know, in the media, in a world around us.
Well, I talked about this on the show last night and several shows, actually, but when I'm doing the Illumination book, the Agni Yoga, but what it talks about is, I mean, we're dealing with the awakening of our consciousness, but I think that what makes me certain is I'm positive that there's a hierarchy. I'm positive that there's a God. I'm positive that there's a much greater intelligence than what exists in my own mind, right? And that gives me hope that what we're dealing with is we're on course in some way. There is a course.
Well, you don't have to hope, Leo. It's a fact. So there's no you don't have to hope anymore.
We're doing. Even this discussion tonight is all part of the plan. It's all part of disseminating this information out there and making people think what's going on. And you know, as we argue and debate these issues, it's a common debate. And maybe somehow there's some enlightenment that comes out of it. And I think there's been a lot of enlightenment. And George, I got to tell you, I mean, I give you all kinds of credit because our Friday night programs have been enlightening, if nothing else. They've been exciting and enlightening. And I think Lila will attest to that. No?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we're
doing these shows with you folks because you're dear to my heart, and I think we have a good time. But I think we have something to say, and we've said it.
If you look at our audiences for Friday nights, we always have when you're on, we always seem to have a pretty good audience, live audience.
Good.
As well.
I'm glad. Yes.
Live audience. So, you know, people are interested. And
the fellow that called a couple Fridays ago from Anchorage, Alaska. Do you remember his name?
No, I don't remember his name.
I wrote it down on my pad, but I couldn't find it. I quickly wanted to look before the show. But, you know, he's been on my mind about some of the activity up there in Alaska. And I was reading, or I seen a clip, 14 feet of snow that they got in Anchorage. And they had the military come in, I think, to dig them out, you know, because the Army Corps of Engineers, I'm not sure, but 14 feet is a lot of snow.
And there was one island there that got 18 feet overnight, and in one night. I can't even imagine what that would look like to be blanketed with 18 feet of snow. It must just be one huge wall of snow coming down, you know, a ceiling of snow. I can't imagine. I know what it's like to have 5 feet of snow come down one night. I lived in Maine, and I saw that. One night, 5 feet of snow with 7-8 foot drifts. But, you know, I can't even imagine what 18 feet of snow would be like in one night. Just overwhelming. But,
you know, I got to go back to what you were talking about at the beginning of the show there with the winds that are carrying this radiation to the East Coast. And what you're saying is right. And I do believe that there is some kind of some hope in that situation because this is worldwide, and I really feel that I think we'll come up with something because if we have a meltdown going there in Japan, you know, it's going to continue to go into the inner Earth, and when it hits the cavities of the water is what carries the nuclear energy around. I mean, that vaporizes out of the cracks and into the air. And, you know, we got to find some way to heal that. And I think there's something could be found, but we just got to think about it. We just got to pray about it. And I think we'll have an option, and it'll open up very soon because I feel sorry for the environment and its effect with the baby sea whales and with the fish. And there was some, dolphins that were ashore there on Cape Cod. And, you know, I don't know if it's because of some of the effects from that or not. But
it's
just trying to keep up with everything. And I know there's going to be an intervention that's going to be good for us. And
they're not even discussing the human toll of this thing. And, you know,
you
don't even know how many people in Japan right now are suffering from radiation illness. There's no news coming from these places.
I think right now what's being challenged is the politics, because people have had enough. They need to know, and you can only keep this stuff down for so long. The people are right. I mean, we have the right to know, instead of, you know, what they want to tell us, or, you know, we have the ability to deal with it, but we need to deal with it, not have somebody else deal it for us. We have to do it ourselves.
Right,
yeah.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And that's why there was such a protest over this, censoring the Internet in the last
I'm glad people stood up to that.
Me too.
Businesses stood up to it, because you have senators like Joe Lieberman who looks to the Chinese society and he says that's what we should have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
disgusting.
I don't want to get into him. I don't want to get into politics because
it's a bottomless
snowledge world that, you know, you're not going to win, and it's a lose-lose situation. So, best thing is just take the best and run with it, because that's all you're going to get out of it. And I think I can, and I have.
Well,
you have too.
I think you're right. Yeah, you know, just run with it. You know, just run with your thoughts and do what you can, and, you know, make life.
Everybody works in their own way. What's right for one person isn't necessarily right for another. That's all.
Well, that's true.
Right, yeah, but it's your own assertion that you have to put into context with your intent, what you want to do and where you want to go, and, you know, the things you want to do along the path. But,
your own heart's path. That's just, you know, everybody's heart has a song, and you have to dance to whatever that song is.
Yeah.
And everyone's is different and unique.
Or march to whatever drummer you're
marching
to.
Yeah, or march to a drummer or dance to a song. I don't know, whatever it is, but everybody's path is different. Some people's paths intersect at different times. And
yeah.
Well, Lila, you know, what I do every day is I stop and I give thanks for what I'm experiencing or being alive for just this day, because you only have the day. But, you know, I have to stop, and I have to thank the God Almighty for everything. And, you know, I'm happy for what I have, and I can't complain. So
it
makes me feel better being able to at least give thanks for something that I'm experiencing.
That's good. Actually, George, you only have right now.
That's right. You were.
And right now is as good as it gets. That is what it is. I mean, you don't even have a day, you have now. I mean, time, as you've always said, is an artificial kind of thing. So all you have
is.
I just had to point
that out. Which was then, and now it's now.
That's right.
And just what I just said is then.
That's
and
in the past.
We're now. So everything.
So you're experiencing that with your emotional body, your heart, not your mind, because your mind can't deal with the present. It can only deal with the past or the future. So it's your heart, your emotions that you're experiencing right now, and that's the now is what it's all about.
That's right.
Now is my heaven, not something I'm going to experience after I die. You know.
This is what it is.
I wanted
that's
to just-
right.
People are listening. We're just about out of time on the stream. And you can call in at 646-915-9505. We'll be talking for a few more minutes. And if not, we want to thank everybody who joined us. Join us again next Tuesday night.
And we'll say good night to those folks.
To those folks. And
thank you.
George, finish your thought, well, on whatever it was.
We were talking about.
You know, I I was trying to continue on from the last show that we did, dealing with the mind, because I talked about connecting the heart with the mind. And there are two connections that we make, one from the upper heart chamber, which goes right to the brain itself. It connects right to the brain on the right hemisphere.
Hmm.
And you have another connection in the lower heart, which sends, connects with the thalamus.
The thalamus?
It connects with the thalamus and it connects with the pineal gland.
Uh-huh.
Now, pineal gland is that eye that we talked about here. It's a pineapple. It's a symbolic pineapple in our forehead. We
the
perceive
third eye.
The illusion in a closed world. And it's where we separate... You separate the impulse from a linear point of view, from a serial point of view, to a parallel from a parallel point of view.
Hmm.
So you know, I'm getting lost here, I think.
Yeah, I'm
because there's
a lot
more to the background that we talked about that I can't get into now.
I'd like to talk a little more about that next week. I think that would be very.
I'd like to, but I'm saying that the majority of what we perceive is felt in a right hemisphere of the brain, which is a feminine energy, and it's really a collection of feelings. Now, the left brain, the logical brain, the analytical brain, will take, which is a serial brain, a serial of understanding, and what it will do is it will take bits and pieces from the parallel reality of the right brain and put them together and give you a string of thought or an understanding behind it. But it's left without the emotional factors or the illusionary factors and put into a linear perspective. So I think we have a way to bypass this because any thought that comes to us we'll experience from emotionally and physically. And what I was saying before, you can direct an emotional thought out, a good thought out, but understanding the negative polarity of view will come back and you'll experience that again. And some people in the back side of the head, you know, you put a good thought out, but in the meanwhile, you get a slap in the back of the head on the negative aspect of that.
That's true. That's really true.
But, yeah, but in dealing with the same thought, what you can do is you can manifest it within your heart through emotional feelings, like I was talking before about the baby with Down syndrome. And it's not something that you have analytically, you have attachments to it. It's something that you emotionally are connected with. And so, you know, it's now going back to the emotional aspect within the heart and relate to the outside world or with people too. Because, you know, it's the emotional body of the right hemisphere is connected to the outside world through seeing, touching, smell, and sight. So it's connecting with the real world and experiencing the real world. And this is the Mother Nature within us, that we are in touch with the outside world through the right hemisphere. And, you know, I envy the feminine world because they've had that ability instead of having to go look and find it, where males have not. They're just learning now that you know they are part of that energy field, but they respond differently.
Well, and I think that's a discussion that we can talk about a little more next time.
Yeah.
I know that I'm ready to
go to bed.
Say goodnight.
Well, I am also, because I haven't eaten dinner yet, and I was going to take my wife out, I think.
Oh, well, go and eat dinner.
Yeah,
oh, my
absolutely.
Goodness.
Yeah, well.
As always, it's
but
a pleasure.
We're done. But
yeah.
It's been nice touching base with you guys, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Me too.
We did too.
And give our best to your wife. I hope your dinner's not cold.
Yeah.
No. I think we're going to head down to the restaurant here. But it's Friday night, and it's the time to get out and before it gets too cold. God bless you guys, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yep.
All right, Bill.
Good night. Best to you all.
Talk to you later.
Good.
And I want to thank everyone who joined us tonight, and we wish you the best of the weekend. And